Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. And again, if you have your Bibles, turn to that great passage in Acts 17. When I was in Bible college, many of you know I went to Baptist Bible College and Seminary in Clark Summit, Pennsylvania. Our president at the time was Dr. Jim Jeffrey, and President Jeffrey was and still is. He's an amazing guy, amazing educator, expositor of Scripture, great pastor. He was a pastor for many years before becoming president at BBC, and since he's left BBC, and he's since returned to the pastorate today. And his pastor's heart from being a pastor for so many years in full-time ministry, it used to come through loud and clear to us as students whenever he would frequently address us as students. And he understood the pressures that many students face, and thus he was always ready every Monday morning to open up the Word and give us a challenge from the Bible in chapel. And he would often, you wonder why I really like him, Krispy Kreme was right at the bottom of the hill, and oftentimes he would buy Krispy Kreme donuts for the whole student body. And I love that, and so you wonder why I really hold the man in such high regard. But that being said, one of the things that President Jeffrey would often say to us students was this, and I want to quote him this morning. He would say, "Have a critical mind without a critical spirit. Have a critical mind without a critical spirit." And that saying has always stuck with me, even to this day, because as an immature young man, I had a real problem with this back in the day. I really did. As a Bible college student, I was there. I was at Bible college for the purpose of critically thinking through the Scriptures, of learning theology and really learning how to communicate that to others. And thus, whether it was a chapel speaker or a professor or a pastor that I was sitting under, I would often find myself really thinking through what was being said from the pulpit whenever it was taught. Which indeed I would argue is a very good and godly thing for us to do. We should be thinking through the Word, and we should be examining it critically in our minds. But even something as good and as godly as wanting to know more about the Bible and wanting to know the truth of the Bible, even in that desire, sin can oftentimes creep in. And it did for me at that time especially. I would often find myself walking away from sermons and teachings with that critical spirit that he would often warn us about. I would often find myself nitpicking and being overtly critical over teachings of the Word, which really was rooted in a sinful attitude on my part. I'll confess that to you. It was sin on my part. And just like it was for me, I would argue that this immature attitude, it can indeed be a real stumbling block for all of us if we are not careful. It can creep in very, very quickly if we're not careful. And so this morning I decided to entitle our sermon today from these few verses in Acts 17, after that great quote by President Jeffrey, namely, having a critical mind without a critical spirit. Having a critical mind without a critical spirit. And this is because I believe that the story of the Bereans, I think that they exemplify this. They example it for us in such a great way. As we read, Paul and his company, they had left Thessalonica by night there in verse 10. And according to the verse, they made their way to the closest city, which happened to be the city of Berea. And as was Paul's habit, as we looked at last week, he immediately went into the synagogue. He went to the Jewish synagogue in Berea in order to continue that missionary journey and sharing the gospel with the lost there. And so it was in that city that he would, as we read, he would meet a group of people who actually considered, they thought through what he had to say. And they thought through it very critically, going as far as this text states, examining the Scriptures in order to critically think and process what was being taught to them. But at the same time, I would argue that these people were very well balanced in that critical mind. Not being overtly critical from kind of a holier-than-thou or an ivory tower kind of condescending perspective, but rather their critical mind was coupled with a heart of humility and was coupled with a heart of a teachable spirit. Indeed, the Bereans had critical minds without a critical spirit, which is something that we as Christians, we need to strive to emulate today, especially when it comes to the context of the local church. And so in order for us to see this point, we're going to focus in on verses 11 and 12 today, especially first tearing apart verse 11. And we're going to look at the latter part of that verse first, which leads to point number one, that the Bereans had critical minds. The Bereans had critical minds. Notice the latter half of what that verse has to say. It says that the Bereans examined the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so this teaches us that the Bereans were a people that they were a people who desired to comprehend and understand what was being taught to them. They weren't a lazy-minded people, so much so that they went and examined or they studied the source material of what was being taught to them in order to prove that it was indeed fact. And this, of course, as it says here, it took place in the Jewish synagogue, according to verse 10. And so those that were in that city, they would have had free access to the Old Testament scriptures. They would have been able to have the Bible right there and examine the Bible itself, which would have been a rarity. They didn't have Bibles freely available like we do today. And so they would have had access to it in the synagogue. And so as Paul and Silas and his company, as they were teaching them about Jesus, as they were teaching them the gospel of Jesus Christ, these folks, after listening to what they had to say, they wanted to confirm that what was being taught to them was indeed scriptural, that it was indeed biblical, and they wanted to do so for themselves right then and there. They didn't just take what was being taught to them at face value. They wanted an empirical way of confirming whether or not what Paul and Silas and all of those Christian men who had come to that city, they wanted to be able to prove that what they were teaching was indeed true. And so this teaches us that as believers, we ought to have critical minds. We should, especially whenever something is being taught to us from the scriptures or about God in general. We ought not to just accept what is taught to us about God, any kind of theological teaching or a sermon. We ought not to just accept it blindly or at face value. We need to actually think. We need to use our minds and think through what is being taught to us to see, first and foremost, whether or not it makes sense, and indeed whether or not what is being said is backed up with the Bible as our authority. And why is this? Why do we do this? Well, it's because what we believe about God, as we know, and about Jesus Christ and about salvation, it can have eternal consequences. What you believe matters. And because of this, we need to take Bible teaching. We need to take Bible doctrine and theology. We need to take it very, very seriously as we grow as Christians. And Paul warns of this in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 when he writes this. He says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching or doctrine. They will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth rooted in God's word and wander off into myths." And so this teaches us that whether we're, you know, whenever we're being taught the Bible, whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's in a Sunday school class as is coming up, or something that we hear online, especially something that you hear online, something that you read in a Bible or a theology book, that we need to be like the Bereans. We need to be like the Bereans by actually going back to the authoritative scriptures and doing so ourselves to make sure that what we are being taught is indeed the truth. And over again, the Bible warns us over and over again about false teaching and how to be prepared for it and how to combat it. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, Paul warns about false apostles at that time. And indeed, Satan's deception himself. He writes this. He says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan himself disguises himself as an angel of light. And so it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness." Clear warning. John, the Apostle John, again, he warns of false teachings and implores believers to test what is being taught. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then finally, Jesus himself gives this command. He gives a warning about false teaching in the Sermon on the Mount itself. Matthew 7, 15, Jesus said this. He said very clearly, "Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." And so very, very clearly, false teaching is something that we need to beware of and we need to contend against as Christians. And we do so by being like the Bereans, by thinking critically, by thinking deeply about what is being taught to us in light of our own personal examination of Scripture, just like the Bereans did with Paul and Silas. And so God has called us to have a critical mind, to have that critical mind when it comes to the Bible and doctrine and theology. And so practically, what does that mean for us? Well, this means that Bible study and examining the scriptures like the Bereans needs to be a habit in your life. It needs to be a habitual part of your life. You'll notice that the Bereans, they didn't just reserve Bible study for their time in the synagogue. Okay, or just on the Sabbath day either. You'll notice how often did they examine the scriptures? How often were they in the Word? What does it say? It says daily, every day, Every single day, the Bereans were in the Bible. Every single day, they were examining it, thinking through what was being taught to them. And thus, this teaches us that we need to prioritize that same kind of examination from the Scripture if we are to be like the Bereans, to contend against potential false teaching. And that can be both in our own hearts and from without. But that being said, while the Bereans, they had sharp critical minds and when it come to what was being taught to them, the Bereans were also able to do this, to have that critical mind without falling into the trap of what I'm calling a critical spirit, which indeed, is, as I said before, is a danger that comes with an ever-growing knowledge. It is. And that leads to point number two, that the Bereans did not have a critical spirit. Read with me the first part of verse 11. Notice, it says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and they received the word with all eagerness." And so, in the first half of this verse, we see the heart, we see the attitude of the Bereans that guided that spirit, that produced that critical mind and that eagerness for the word. Namely, it was a heart of what Luke calls a humble nobility. You notice it says that they were more noble. It was nobility. Luke describes the Bereans as noble here. So you have to ask yourself, what exactly does he mean by that? What did he mean by using that word noble? Well, one commentary says this. Dr. David G. Peterson writes, "The term noble used here referred originally to noble birth, but came to be applied more generally to high-minded behavior. Luke means that the Berean Jews allowed no prejudice to prevent them from giving Paul a fair hearing." And also, I like the definition another commentary Dr. John Holhill gives. He says, he used the term eugenteros that originally meant high-born, but came to have a more general connotation of being open, of being tolerant and generous. Nowhere was this more evident than in their willingness to take Paul's scriptural exposition seriously. And so again, here we catch a glimpse into the heart of the Bereans that drove them to study the scriptures daily. They were not examining the scriptures with a hard attitude of superiority to Paul, as if they had all the answers. That's not why they were examining the scriptures. They weren't examining the scriptures to prove themselves right and to prove Paul wrong. No, they went to the scriptures in light of Paul's teaching in a more noble fashion, in a humble, in a teachable fashion, with a heart that humbly desired to learn and to grow and to understand genuinely what is true and genuinely what is false. With a heart of eagerness to know what the word really had to say about God. What the word really has to say about Jesus Christ. Without a know-it-all. Without a condescending type attitude. And instead with a humble and a teachable spirit. And oftentimes we miss that point when we talk about the Bereans. We think about the Bereans. Oftentimes we can actually be guilty. And I know I have been. We can be guilty of utilizing this story of the Bereans and this devotion to knowing the scriptures. Oftentimes as an excuse and justification for what I'm just going to call a sinful attitude of oftentimes maybe superiority, maybe intellectual superiority with other Christians. We can get to that point. Oftentimes this text is used as justification for a critical attitude, a critical spirit that can do things like I used to, like nitpick sermons and just the church in general over trivial matters. And again, I mean, going back to the way I was, if you don't believe me, ask Tim Howard Jr. back in Bible college, or better yet, ask Sarah, because she knew me back then. I mean, she'll tell you. And I'll confess to you that in my young and in my immature days, that while I did possess that critical mind, and I did. As a matter of fact, I actually went to a church that had the title Berean. It was Berean Bible Fellowship. So I was a Berean, literally. I did possess that critical mind of a Berean. I certainly did not possess their nobility. Not at all. Not at all. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I used to love to get into arguments with people about theology. I used to love to do that, right? And why was that? Well, not to sound too arrogant, but it was because I would often win those arguments. I would. Okay. And winning those arguments made me feel really, really, really good about myself in a prideful way. I prided myself in knowing my doctrine, of knowing the Bible from front to back, of knowing theology and being able to defend it. And I did vehemently, and I still do in a lot of ways, just in a different fashion. I mean, I used to say, what did I used to say? I used to say, you know what, on my worst day, I know my Bible better than that other person on their best day. I literally would say that. that, right? I mean, if I disagree, oftentimes, I mean, I would disagree with chapel speakers, and I'd be that guy that would run and have to catch them afterwards to tell them everything of what they said that was wrong, right? This young, immature guy who never pastored a church, never really preached many sermons in his life, is going to tell this guy all of what he did wrong. I'm sure that I made him feel really, really, really good about himself, right? But, and while I certainly would never, ever change my devotion to knowing the Bible, and I wouldn't change that, and knowing doctrine and theology, I would never, ever change that. If I could go back, the one thing that I would change would be my attitude. That would be the one thing I would change. If I could hop in a time machine today and go back to my Bible college days and be able to talk to my younger self, I would tell him that, you know, that's a good thing that you have this mind of a Berean. That's a very, very good thing. But to also strive for the nobility of the Bereans as well. I would tell myself that while we certainly should examine what is being taught to us and stay sharp and avoid false teaching and understand the Bible so that you can have pure doctrine and have that sound theology, it's so, so very important to also do so in that humble, noble fashion. Because, yes, we can and should, as I said, be deep students of the Word of God. But as we grow in that knowledge of the Bible, there is always the danger of becoming what the Bible describes as puffed up in that knowledge. The Bible speaks about knowledge puffing up all over the place, or in other words, leading to almost like an arrogant and a loveless religion many times. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it states this. It says, "Now concerning foods offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge, and this, quote, knowledge puffs up." But then Paul qualifies it and says, "But love builds up." And so in the context, as we know, of this verse, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth concerning a division that particular church was having over their theology. It was their theology surrounding specifically the purchase and the consuming of meats that had been sacrificed to the pagan idols. And so what you had is you had some in the church that felt that buying and eating those meats, that by doing so, that you were supporting paganism, that you were supporting the pagan temple. And thus, if you were to eat those meats and buy those meats, that you were in sin. And others in the church, and I would argue correctly, others in the church correctly understood that those meats were just meats. That because paganism is not real, that the gods that are associated with those pagan practices are not real, that it really didn't matter one way or the other if you ate the meats or you didn't. But the problem was, is that you had these folks with the correct doctrine about those meats who were essentially shaming those who didn't see eye to eye with others on those issues. And so, yes, while they had correct theology, while they had correct doctrine, there was no humility. There was no love for others in the congregation. And so this puffed up mentality of the Corinthians, I would just argue, was due to spiritual immaturity. It's due to spiritual immaturity. Condemning other Christians in a condescending and puffed up way is indeed spiritually immature. And Paul makes that clear. He makes this immaturity clear in his qualification for elders. You read the qualification for elders in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Paul writes this: "He must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil." So the same term, puffed up, is used to describe this immature and conceited Christian who in this particular case is put in a place of prominence or a place of leadership way too quickly. And as we know, in order to be an elder, in order to be a pastor, you need to have a vast knowledge of the Word of God. You need to be a student of the Word. If you're going to be an elder, if you're going to be a pastor, you need to be able to open up the Bible. You need to be able to teach the Bible if you're going to take that particular position. But the immature Christian who has that deep knowledge, they can indeed fall into the condemnation of the devil by, as this text states and other text states, by becoming puffed up in that knowledge or conceited and thinking themselves better than others simply because they have this perceived greater knowledge of the Word. And this is indeed conceit. This puffed up conceitedness is what I would consider, like President Jeffrey said, a critical spirit. And it's something that, as Christians who are striving to know the Word and striving to know God better and striving to know our doctrine better, and I trust you are, we need to strive to avoid that attitude with all that we can. And so the lesson that we learn from the Bereans is that, yes, we ought to think deep and wide about the Scriptures. We ought to love being under the preached Word of God and being taught the Word of God and understanding the Word of God, whether it's behind the pulpit, whether it's in a Sunday school class, online articles, teachers, all these things. You know, again, you ought to delve into the Word. You ought not just to believe everything that you hear coming from here or elsewhere at face value. You need to be like the Bereans and go back to the scriptures. Be in the Bible daily and test that teaching and make sure that it is indeed sound doctrine. We have to have a critical mind when it comes to the study of the scriptures. That's a given as believers. But at the same time, we need to do so without that critical spirit. We need to do so with the nobility of the Bereans, or with a heart that understands that all true doctrine and the coming to that right and correct sound doctrine in your own heart is only as a byproduct of God's working in himself. It's only as a result of him working in your heart and revealing those things to you over time. It's God's grace that allows you to understand things. And so, yes, you need to study the Word of God, examining its pages, thinking deeply about what's being said. But you also need to do so with that humility and with that teachable spirit that understands and acknowledges that knowledge comes from God first. And also acknowledges that I need to be taught. I don't know it all. No matter how long I've walked with the Lord, no matter how many books I've read, no matter how many times I've read through the Scriptures, I still don't know it all. Need to have an attitude that acknowledges that, you know what, in my own personal theology, that I'm not always correct. Yes, I can be wrong. And yes, I need to be corrected from time to time. And also, even if my doctrine is correct and proven from scriptures, that my attitude is as equally as important, if not more so important, than actually having the doctrine. Because if the doctrine is not affecting the way that you live, what good is the doctrine, right? And so I would just say this in conclusion, while I certainly challenge us, and I do often, you guys know this, oftentimes I'm up here and I'm saying, get in the Word, I'm trying to provoke you to be in the Scriptures. Know the Scriptures, right? And you should, to know your doctrine, know your theology, think critically through what is being taught. I would argue the same thing would apply to your attitude, to do so, to have that critical mind without the critical spirit. And remember that love and patience with other Christians and with the whole church family is a true sign of spiritual maturity and not how much you claim to know. Don't fall into the condemnation of the devil by becoming, as that text states, puffed up or conceited in that knowledge. As I said before, certainly grow in your knowledge of the Word. Be a Berean. Be studying the Bible, but also in that same nobility of them. Show that love. And show that humility to your brothers and sisters. And so I just pray this morning that as we examine the Bereans, and as we look at them, and as we consider them, maybe we consider them from a perspective that we haven't looked at, looking at their attitudes, and I pray that we would apply it, and that God would be glorified, indeed, as we strive for critical minds without critical spirit. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for this word, and I thank you so much for, God, I just thank you so much for the example of the Bereans. God, I praise you so much, God, for their, God, as they're known for being those who dig deep into the text of Scripture, who think through the Scriptures, who didn't just take what Paul and Silas and their company said at face value. Instead, Lord, they went to the Scriptures. They desired to be in your word. Oh, God, help us to emulate that. Help us to be in the Word this week, to open up your Word and read its pages and study it. God, to not be afraid to delve a little bit deeper, maybe pick up a study Bible, maybe pick up a commentary and just think through what the Bible actually has to say. But, Lord, I pray also that you would grant us an attitude of humility when it comes, God, to this area of knowledge. God, grant us an area of humility when it comes to each other. And God, that we would not allow our knowledge and Lord willing, an ever increasing knowledge to puff us up, to have us have an attitude of conceit or an attitude of superiority, Lord, to our brother and sister Christians. Understanding, God, that you give grace and measure to each one of us, God. You open our hearts and you open our minds as you see fit. And so, Lord, I pray that you would utilize your word today in our hearts and continue to utilize your word each and every day, God, as the Bereans did, as we daily entrust ourselves to this book. And God, that you grow us in both our knowledge and indeed our humility, God, I pray. We love you and we give this time to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.